This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In our first reading from the book of Philippians, we read these words of Paul. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. You know, this is one of many Bible passages that people like to take out of context in order to prove that God can help you fulfill your dreams if you really believe that He can. You see, some people want God to give them the strength to be the most successful employee at work. Others want God to give them the strength to win at football, or basketball, or hockey, or some other athletic competition. Still others want God to give them the strength to defeat their enemies in a war. That's right, people turn to God in order to get strength to do various things. Now, of course, there's nothing wrong with asking God to give you the strength to do the best that you can at whatever you're trying to accomplish. Assuming, of course, that what you're trying to accomplish is good, and that you have the proper motivation for accomplishing it. Obviously, if we want the strength to accomplish something that's evil, well, then we certainly should not ask God for the strength to do that evil thing. But you know what? Even when the thing we want to accomplish is good, sometimes our motive for accomplishing that thing might be pride or selfishness. If our motive for doing something, even if it's good, is pride or selfishness, then we should not ask God for the strength to do that thing. Instead, we should ask God for humility. I say all this because we're often tempted to think of God as our great almighty friend in the sky who has the power to help us accomplish whatever we want to accomplish. As you've heard me say before, viewing God in this way means that we're treating Him like a genie in a lamp who exists to grant us our wishes. However, my friends, this is not what Paul means when he writes, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. What Paul means is that the forgiveness and the love and the eternal hope that he has been given through faith in Christ, these gifts give him the strength to be faithful to God no matter what circumstances he may be facing. In other words, Paul is not teaching that we can use God like some power source to give us the strength to do whatever we want to do. Oh no. Paul is teaching that our primary goal in life should be to be faithful to God. In good times and in bad times, we should strive to be faithful to God. And the mercy and hope we have in Christ, that's what gives us the strength to be faithful to God in all circumstances. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that God can't do anything He wants to do. He certainly can. Jesus performed many miracles that only God can do, including conquering death itself, which we celebrated this past Easter Sunday. My friends, Jesus controls all creation and nothing happens apart from His will. Jesus will return in power and glory one day. He will raise our bodies from the dust of the ground and give us eternal life on the new earth that He will create for us on that day. Indeed, Jesus is all-powerful. However, even though God is all-powerful, this does not mean that His power is at our disposal to use as we see fit. In fact, sometimes the Almighty God withholds His power and He allows us to face trial and suffering. Remember hearing about Paul's list of trials in our reading from 2 Corinthians? I don't think any of us would want to go through that. After describing numerous difficulties that God allowed him to endure, Paul says, For when I am weak, then I am strong. Simply put, when Paul was suffering for the sake of Christ, he found strength by focusing on the cross of Christ and the hope that this gives us. Now this takes us to our reading today from 1 Corinthians, where Paul writes the following. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, why does Paul remind the Corinthians that when he first began his mission work among them, he did not come to them with eloquence or superior wisdom? Well, the eloquence or the superior wisdom that Paul is referring to is the false teaching that's coming not only from the pagans that surround them, but even from the false teachers within their congregation. Simply put, the representatives of the various pagan gods in Corinth, they would entice people to worship those gods and to sacrifice to those gods by promising those same people that if they worshiped those gods and sacrificed to those gods, they would then receive earthly blessing and prosperity in return. In addition, the false teachers that were causing divisions within the Corinthian congregation, well, these false teachers were preaching and teaching things that appealed to people's wants and desires, rather than speaking the truth of Christ to them and telling them what they needed to hear, whether they liked it or not. But in contrast, Paul did not preach about Jesus as though Jesus were just one more option among many gods who would benefit people and give them what they wanted if they simply sacrificed to Him. Oh no, Paul didn't preach about Jesus like that. Nor did Paul preach and teach what people wanted to hear just so he could be popular and gain a following. Paul didn't do that either. Instead, Paul said to them, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Now, when Paul says that, he doesn't mean that Jesus' death on the cross was the only thing that Paul ever talked about, because as we continue on in this sermon series in 1 Corinthians, we will encounter many teachings and many topics that Paul wants to inform us about from God's Word. So, when Paul says, "I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Christ and Him crucified," when he says that, he means that there's only one God. And His ways are totally different than all the false gods and human opinions of this world. In other words, the cross of Jesus Christ is what makes Christianity absolutely unique. You see, if you look at all the various false religions of the world, if you examine all their various false gods, what you will never ever find in any single one of them is a God who's willing to die in order to save His enemies. But my friends, that's the kind of God we have. Our God is the holy creator of the universe. Our God has the power to crush His enemies instantly with one thought. But God didn't crush us sinners, who are by nature His enemies. Instead, God crushed His own Son in our place, that we might be forgiven and live now and forever as His dearly loved children. So rather than viewing God as a divine power source or as a genie in a lamp who is at our beck and call, God reveals Himself to us as the holy creator who ought to damn us to hell for all eternity for our rebellion and wickedness and sin. But instead of giving us what we deserve, He put our sin and shame and evil on His Son and gave it to Jesus that we might be forgiven and reconciled to God, our Creator. God put His own Son to death for you. That's the kind of God we have. But of course, Jesus didn't stay dead. As we celebrated last week, he rose from the grave just as he said he would. And his resurrection proves what he claimed all along. He is Almighty God. And that means it was God himself who hung on the cross for us. And he hung on the cross for us not because he was forced to do it, but he did it willingly. He willingly suffered and died because he loves us that much. Paul goes on to write the following in today's reading. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, referring to the manipulative kind of talk that the world speaks, appealing to our sinful desires and wants. No, Paul says, my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. So, what is this demonstration of the Spirit's power? How does the Holy Spirit show his power? The Holy Spirit shows his power by working through the preaching and teaching of Christ crucified to give unbelievers hearts of repentance and faith in Christ as their Lord and Savior. You know, people wonder today, why doesn't God do miracles like he used to do when Jesus was around? Well, first of all, you have to remember, if you read the entire Bible from beginning to end, throughout history, God really didn't do that many miracles very often at all. He did them on rare occasions, and only then to make a very important point that he was doing something very special. For example, when he led his people out of Egypt to the Promised Land, he did miracles then. And then when he had an even greater event, the birth of his son, the ministry of his son, God did miracles then too to show us that something special was happening. But he still does miracles today if you're willing to look and believe. What are those miracles? Every time a sinner who by nature doubts God and rejects him, every time somebody grieves over their sin, recognizes that it deserves hell, every time somebody hears God's word and they cling to Jesus as their living Lord and Savior who died for them and conquered death for them. The very fact that you are here this morning confessing your sins and trusting in Jesus as your Savior and longing to live for him, you are a modern day miracle of God. The Spirit shows his power by working through the preaching of repentance and forgiveness of sins to work miracles in people's hearts, to turn them from unbelief to lives of repentance and faith in Jesus. My friends, God does not want us to have faith in the wisdom of sinful men, because the wisdom of sinful men will lead us straight to hell. Instead, God wants us to have faith in his power, which is seen most clearly in the death of his son on the cross. You see, the cross shows us two very important things. Number one, the cross shows us how serious our sin really is. And I must say, I think our culture needs a little slap in the face in that regard. Our culture doesn't even want to hear the word sin. They don't think it exists. Or if people do hear about the word sin, they think of it more in the sense of a trivial little mistake. You know, something God can wink at and overlook. No. The Bible's clear. Every time we sin, whether it's a sinful thought that we cherish, or a sinful word that we speak, or some evil deed that we do, or something good that we willingly and for selfish and evil reasons leave undone, these sins are us spitting in God's face and telling him we want to do it our way. And sin like that, whatever it may be, deserves eternity in hell. That's how serious our sin is. And no one sin is any different than another. Don't get into this comparing game like, well, I'm not as bad as the guys out at the state pen over here. No. The Bible's clear. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Whatever your sin issue may be, it deserves hell. The cross shows us how serious it is because it took nothing less than the death of God's Son to deal with my sin. It took nothing less than the death of God's Son to deal with your sin. That's why we need to take our sin seriously, because it took nothing less than Jesus' death to deal with it. But there's another side to the cross that's so comforting. Even though the cross shows us how serious our sin is and that we should have been there suffering for all eternity, the cross also shows us the awesome love of God. You see, my friends, even though forgiveness is absolutely free for you and me, it cost God dearly. Would you sacrifice one of your own children so that a criminal could go free? I don't think I have that much love in me. But God has that much love. That's what He did for me. That's what He did for you. That's what He did for all people. He sacrificed His one and only Son that those who had spat in His face might be forgiven and be adopted as His dearly loved children. That's how much God loves us. And we need to remember that because, you see, whenever we're going through trials and difficulties like Paul did, what does the devil want us to think? God doesn't love you. If He loved you, He wouldn't let you go through these hard times. Well, whenever the devil wants you to believe that evil nonsense, just look to the cross. Look to the cross and then ask yourself, how could I ever doubt that God loves me? Look what He was willing to do for me. But what about all those times that God might allow you to suffer? Well, remember what Paul said? When I am weak, then I am strong. God knows that especially here in America, there are so many things to distract us from God and His Word. Sometimes God has to bring us to our knees so that we can look to the cross. I'm not saying we enjoy hard times. I'm not saying we enjoy suffering. I certainly don't. And if I can avoid it, I will. But when God allows me to suffer, and I have no choice in the matter, I can know that He still loves me by looking to the cross. And I can know that He will even work through my trials to help me grow in my faith and to give me an opportunity to witness to others about the hope I have in Christ. God uses our weaknesses to focus our attention on the cross. And when we focus our attention on the cross, that is where our strength comes from. Our strength not to do what we want to do, but strength to be faithful to God in all circumstances. My friends, when the Holy Spirit uses the message of Christ crucified to capture your heart and mind, your whole life changes. Rather than trusting God as though He were a genie in a lamp, we fall on our knees in humble worship of the God who had every right to use His power to damn us, but instead He damned His own Son in our place that we might be His dearly loved children forever. That is the God we serve. That is the God we proclaim in this world. Because we have been given faith in Christ, God's Son who was crucified for us, because we trust in Jesus, we long to be faithful to God, even when it means suffering and trial. And when we do go through suffering and trial, we receive strength to remain faithful to God by looking to the cross. Because, my friends, the cross is the power of God. And the cross is the power of God because there is where we see how much God truly loves us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.